and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep, minute by minute, into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, John.
And I'm Zach.
And we are back. It's Friday. We've made it through this week.
Happy Friday, everyone.
Or whatever day it is that you're listening to this episode, but this episode's coming out on a Friday, so.
I hope it feels like a Friday for you.
Let's hope. We're starting this minute off finishing a sentence.
Yes.
Something else is going to get finished at the end of the minute, but spoilers.
This is a rather explosive minute.
Yeah. A little bit. A little bit indeed. No nuclear detonations due to a laser gun and a Holtzman shield, however.
Which I stewed on that.
Yeah.
And it's been bothering me. I don't like it.
Been stewing on it since yesterday?
Since yesterday.
Yeah.
And I think I need to text Denis and just see what's up.
Yeah.
I'll call him on the way home.
Okay. Let me know what he says.
Yeah. Hey, by the way.
Yeah.
This may be one of the very, very small handful of action scenes that we can actually dissect and talk a lot about.
Motherfucker. I've been going through this whole.
Oh, I know. I mean, frame by frame. That statement also applies like to this full week.
Yeah.
But most or a lot of the action scenes that we got in Dune Part One, and maybe just we weren't as good at this when we were going through them then, we couldn't really talk a whole lot about them because it was just they're very quick and just they're fighting, punching, stabbing, done.
Yeah. I think the longest one that we could have. The two longest ones that we could have talked about in Dune Part 1 were Duncan's Last Stand.
Yep.
Well, first Duncan's Last Stand.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, the fight between Paul and Jameis.
Correct.
Yeah.
But
even still, like, the fight between Paul and Jameis is pretty quick, and a lot of that was just, like, talking about the choreography.
Yeah.
Whereas here, as you'll hear.
Sure. Yeah, I'm following you.
Yeah. Yeah. Here, as you'll hear, there's a few more moving parts.
Yes, for sure.
Literally.
Well, one of those moving parts is the pesky ornithopter that's still flying around.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it was Paul's mouth, because yesterday we left off with the minute ending with him saying, I'll trigger it on my signal, be ready.
That is a better joke.
And at that point, both Paul and Chani get on their own side, their own respective side of the backside of the leg. So they're still protected from the ornithopter that's flying and it's scanning and it's looking. Yep. Now,
we get some waiting.
We did get some waiting. We did get some music with the waiting, and I did some counting of beats per minute. You did your counting of beats per minute earlier. This was my
turn. Burst per minute, but yeah.
Burst per minute, yeah. We're here for 23 seconds of dramatic pause, and our music is playing at 120 beats per minute, double time.
Okay.
So we get a real sense of
urgency.
Urgency and anxiety building up and everything.
Sure.
120 beats per minute double time is moving, by the way. Paul glances at the leg nearest to him. We get some glances, you know, peeking around corners of looking up at the ornithopter. We get the ornithopter looking down at the leg. And then Paul just says, go! And he dead sprints.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Cruise style.
Yep.
Towards the leg. And as we know, these legs are all practical.
Mm-hmm.
So there is actually something that Timothée Chalamet is running towards here. And as he's sprinting towards it, this grabs the gunner's attention, and his gambit has become even riskier because the leg he's sprinting towards is beginning to move away from him. And we get a swear. Paul yells, shit!
I love that.
Yeah.
That was really funny. It was a good good little laugh line.
Yeah.
Definitely was not expecting that. So he has to run a little bit more for it.
I'm surprised they didn't use the one allowed fuck for a PG-13.
Did they use it at all in this movie?
No.
Okay. Well, good on them.
Yeah.
That's good. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. I know we say it a lot on this show, but, you know, better words can be chosen.
In this case, shit.
Yeah. So the door gunner on the ornithopter swings his gun around to take aim at Paul, and it begins firing. And the rounds are puffing up in the sand. We can see them hit a good, you know, 5 feet behind Paul.
If that.
Yeah. It's, you know, within 5 feet of Paul.
Yeah. But Paul's plot armor is very strong.
Yes. Also, he's a door gunner.
Yeah.
He should know to stay ahead of his targets.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that's like 101
stuff. Lead your targets.
Yep.
No matter how fast your shotgun spread mounted turret is.
Yeah. I mean, this should be a very easy shot for him.
Yeah.
But anyways, plot armor, right? Paul jumps and dives behind the leg.
He does a somersault dive behind the leg.
Yeah. These rounds are just falling all around him, and he's so fucking lucky. Again, we have to have him survive, so that is plot armor. Just the purest expression of plot armor.
Yeah.
The door gunner notices that he's behind the leg, and then he moves his sights back over to Chani, and she's putting the gun down.
As he's swiveling the sights back,
mm-hmm.
I don't know how well you could hear it, but you can hear the rocket go off. You hear the thung, shh. And by the time he sees Chani, she's lowering the rocket. And he looks to his left and we see the rocket corkscrewing its way slowly into the shield.
Yeah.
The slow rocket penetrates the shield.
Penetrates?
The slow rocket.
What's penetrate, John?
The slow rocket penetrates the shield. And we just, we hear the gunner scream. It's more of like a kind of yell. And we see the charge fully penetrate the shield, sticks to the hull of the ornithopter for just a second, and then kaboom.
Yeah, exactly. And I eat this shit up. I love seeing explosions within the shields. Mm-hmm. It's so fucking cool.
Yep. We're not done though.
No.
Because we cut to a ground level camera running alongside Chani with a good amount of distance between the camera and her. And I just love this scene where she's just like laughing her ass off.
Yeah, yeah.
And then like the ornithopter just slams onto the ground, which is then just like Hans's cue for this huge like fanfare.
Yeah.
Like crazy like drums. Shout out Raul. I'm sure he probably had some degree of like sample work that was done for all of this. And it's just like crazy fanfare. It's time to go nuts because we cut to a pretty wide shot at this point. Two Fremen pop out of the sand far away from the harvester and they've got their own laser guns.
I said about a yonder's worth of distance. I couldn't exactly tell.
It's far enough that they are nowhere near where the action was just taking place.
Yeah.
But they've got their laser gun and they just shoot it up and straight through the fucking top of the bulb of this harvester.
Yeah. So we get two lazookas here. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. We see one of the lazooka teams.
Yeah. We see one. So it goes and it just slices straight through this, the harvester.
Yep.
And then about a 90 degrees to the left.
Yep.
We see another one slice through.
Penetrate and then makes like an X cutting pattern. And they begin to like tighten the X so it like begins to like slice a whole like top section of the harvester. Like they are fucking this thing up.
Yeah, exactly.
At this point. I counted, you know, with this super wide shot where we can see the damage that's being done, you can see all these little craters in the sand. I counted 22 total steps across the 6 feet that this harvester had taken. So it had not been on the ground very long at all.
Right.
It had only just started. Yeah, we're fucking this thing up.
Yep.
It's exploding. And our minute ends with Chaul running up the dunes to safety and a new shot of lasers shooting through the harvester.
Now, I feel like a time jump happens some point in this. Because Chaul are pretty far away from the harvester when they're running up the dune. But it looks like the damage is still going.
Yeah.
That's a bad way of explaining it. They got far enough away to where they're safely out of any kind of debris field within the amount of time that we saw on screen, which does not make sense to me.
Or my counter argument to that is, or they're running away doing their thing. And we don't know if the teams with the laser guns are like hitting multiple spots either, because we only get this one last frame.
Yeah.
We get this one last shot for like 3 to 5 frames and that's it. The front definitely looks more beat up than just the one initial laser gun.
Yeah.
Or the two initial laser gun shots. That being said, we're no strangers in this movie, at least, to people teleporting very quickly.
Yeah.
Or as I would like to now refer to it, James McAvoy Leto II running.
Okay, I'm with you.
Across the desert.
Yep, I like it.
We saw that with Jessica.
Yeah.
At the start of the movie, appearing to just smash her pass against the one Harkonnen soldier that was going to shoot Paul.
Yeah, you got to the top of the dune really, really quickly. Yeah. I was like, okay, they made it a very safe distance in a very short amount of time.
Yeah.
So they rode on the back of the plot armor out of the explosion area.
James McAvoy carried them to safety.
Exactly.
If you haven't watched the Dune sci-fi miniseries or the Children of Dune series, go fucking watch it. It's so really good.
They're very, very, very good. Yeah, and that's where the minute ends here.
And the week as a whole.
The week.
So now,
anything from Art and Soul before we get into our ratings?
No.
Okay.
All of our Art and Soul has been, I tried to evenly distribute it as much as possible with all of the other action that we had this week, because as you know, there's quite a bit of action. As far as Shai Hulud's are concerned, if I am sticking to our agreed upon understanding of consistency within the movie, making changes to Dune lore as a whole, 7.5, super high action minute. Could it have been a little bit better? Yes. Were there some goofs and some gaffes? Yes.
Sure.
But man, the fucking laser gun Holtzman shield thing it throws me for a fucking loop. Like,
that's the biggest.
I know the Harkonnens are dumb, but they're not that stupid.
Yeah, that's the one big mark against this week. I mean, everything else was good. It was really, really good. I enjoyed this action sequence.
They could have just shown the missile like deflecting up.
And that's what I thought it did.
Exploding in the air.
Yeah, that's what I thought it did.
Honestly, would have been a really cool shot.
Well, okay, so that is,
and like you could have blocked that camera movement very easily.
Sure. Well, that's where I think, I can't remember if it was Wednesday or Thursday, that I said I have a beef with something that I'm going to talk about on Friday. It kind of got negated when you brought up the laser gun moment.
Yeah.
Because that's what I thought the projectile did. I thought it just bounced off the shield and then the second one burrowed in. I was like, what? And my complaint was going to be, why did the first one bounce when it looked like the exact same shot, and you know, hit hitting pretty much the same spot on the ornithopter. Why did that one bounce off and the second one burrow in?
Well, I think the second one burrows in because it just happens to get under the shield just enough that it slows the rocket just enough to then penetrate the shield.
Okay.
I think that's their expectation in how the audience understands that moment.
Gotcha. Okay. So, like, she fired it, and it...
The top layer of the shield closes over it, but the bottom layer hasn't exactly, which inherently slows it to then penetrate.
Got it. Okay. All right. I'll take that.
Whereas my beef was an actor was stabbing the air. sure. And then lays gun.
So, yeah, I got to join you up there, man. I mean, this is a 7.5 week for me. It was good.
I'm watching this movie at normal speed and not going back and not watching it frame by frame. This is a great sequence.
Yeah.
The fact that they did as much, at least in the bigger sweeping shots with, you know, Paul doing his running and attacking against in the 2v1, the Fremen as a whole attacking the group of the Harkonnen soldiers, like having to block out and choreograph that entire sequence.
Mm-hmm.
Tons of work, especially with like people using excavators to like pilot these legs and everything as well. Shout out to them all. Fantastic. But yeah, it's once you get into those frame by frame and second by second details, you start noticing some things in this.
Yeah.
That being said, still love it.
It was good.
Still looking forward to more Dune Minute. And I'm especially looking forward to next week. Because next week...
Tell us why.
We have our first guest of the Dune Minute Part 2.
Yes, we do. We will be joined by the wonderful David from the Lorehounds Network. Talking about, I'm not going to give anything away about what's happening next week.
The next 5 minutes of the Dune.
Yeah, talking about the next 5 minutes. So super excited to have him sit down with us and chat. He's, from what I can tell, over the moon about these minutes. Like, he's super excited to talk about them because they're some of very important ones.
When we were talking about minute availability with him and some of our other guests that we're going to be having this season, we have a healthy amount of guests.
Yeah.
This season, and I'm very much looking forward to speaking with all of them. When we were talking with him and this one moment came up as an option, I think he was super just like, I want this.
Yeah.
I want this. So very important set of minutes coming up, and looking forward to sitting down with David.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you for sticking with us throughout the week and for over 200 episodes now.
Over 200 episodes of the Dune Minute,
All right, well, we will be back next week. I hope you all have a good one, and we will see y'all then. Oh, socials, please, John. Sorry, I forgot about those.
You can find us online. On Blue Sky, we're at DuneMinute.com, and you can email DuneMinute@gmail.com if you'd like to get in touch with us there. We'll be back on Monday with more episodes of the Dune Minute. Have a good weekend, everyone.
See ya.